Hi everyone, welcome to Improve Your Voice. My name is Darren McStay. In today's video, I'm going to be sharing with you a recent online presentation that I gave for a group in Helsinki called The Shortcut. Now, The Shortcut is like a non-profit organization that helps entrepreneurs and startup companies and people who are out of work to meet each other, to network, to learn and grow, and to better their opportunities here in Helsinki. It's often used by international immigrants and students, but of course it's open for Finnish people too. It's just become a very valuable hub for those who need to get into the workplace or need to network. So I wanted to share this video with you today because I think the information in there is very valid, and the questions that were posed to me beforehand and that I answer throughout the video could be questions that you might benefit from. And so it's quite a long video because obviously it was an hour. I've trimmed off the intro and the outro and the bits which are unnecessary for this channel, but hopefully you'll get something from it. There's some work exercises in there that you can join in on, and so if you've got a bit of time, I'd say, you know, watch the whole video. Just take a bit of time out of your day and sit down, because there might be some questions that haven't been asked or I've covered on this channel so far that you'll get through. And also maybe the combination of things together could help you out and give you some information. So that's going to be today's video. I'll sign off at the end, but enjoy it for now.
Hi everyone. Moi. Mitä kuuluu? How you all doing? I can't see your faces. I can only see a big picture of Stefan. And maybe I'll change this up a bit so I can maybe see the change layout. What have we got? Tiled. That's good. So anyone that does come on, show your face, I can see you. Right, so I sent a question, an idea to Stefan, and I believe he sent it to you guys, unless he completely lied and made up the answers himself. I think it was you that responded. And I thought, rather than just telling you what I already know, it'd be best if I could answer your questions directly and then try and link them together so we can get what we want from today. Does that make sense? No one can hear. No one's replying. It's just pictures and letters. Okay, fine. Right. Let's look at the first one. We're going to go through in order. Okay, if that's good with you. The first one was, I think the question was, what areas do you feel you need to improve to better your public speaking, pitching, and presenting skills? And so the first one that came through was that you would like to improve your speaking skills. And so to answer that, I'd really have to suggest that you define which speaking skills you need to improve on. Because speaking is, it covers a lot of ground. And what is it? Is it your articulation that you need to work on? Is it the fact that you don't have any resonance, that you're not loud enough, you can't project? Is it the fact that you don't know how to use a microphone? Is it the fact that you're scared in front of people? So speaking skills themselves, it'd be good if you could define what it is. And one good, great way that you can define what it is by looking at people who are great speakers that you maybe look up to, maybe go through TED Talks and say, oh, that was a good person. You don't have to know why, but you can just take maybe five people that you think have good speaking skills and then try to notice, what is it they're doing that makes them good as a speaker? Because essentially speaking is, you know, is articulating our thoughts and ideas into the world. So what is it that's helping them to articulate their thoughts and feelings into the world so well? Who actually asked that question? Hi, one person's joined us on the cam. Hi. Okay, so no one's owning up to it. Okay, it doesn't matter. Because if you look at, you know, who are great, you might also find people that are able to articulate themselves and share their knowledge, but aren't necessarily good speakers. So when you ask the question, improve your speaking skills, it's really good for you to define what that means for you. And then you can discover ways, you can break it down and discover ways in which to address those issues or to improve them just by spotting them, by understanding them. Hopefully that, you know, answers the question a little bit. But you should really remember that the body, your this thing here, that is your instrument. That is what you're speaking with. And so if this is working properly, then speaking is something that happens naturally because we are able when this thing functions. I'll give an example. Because your body, I call it our instrument, because this is the thing that you use to make sound, okay? So
let's have a look.
This is another instrument, okay? This is a guitar. And so you can see the similarities that this is the body here. We have a neck right there, same as our neck, or you could call it a throat. And then there's the headstock. And these strings are likened to our vocal folds, all right? So these vibrate and resonate within the chasm that is there. And so if our bodies, our instrument is like a guitar, and we were to, I don't know, play. Right? So I can do, you can hear everything, you know, apart from my ability, I'm not the greatest guitarist in the world, but it sounds right, okay? Everything is in tune. But if I do this, if I take those strings out of tune and play the same thing again, doesn't sound quite as good, right? It doesn't sound as good. So my point here is that no matter how dexterous I am as a player, no matter how much academic knowledge I have, no matter how much practice I've had, no matter how well I can read or actually consider myself and articulate words, it doesn't matter if your instrument isn't in tune. Do you see what I mean? And so it's not only because you can't necessarily tune your instrument, but you can consider it with the idea of posture and breathing and relaxation, because these are things that your body responds to well when it comes to speaking. And if this guitar was warped because it had been in the wrong temperature, again, it would be hard to tune. And no matter how good I am at playing it, it wouldn't play at its optimum. Again, if it was broken, if their neck was snapped and there was a crack in here, again, it would not play as it's supposed to. And so the very first part of improving your voice and improving your speaking skills is to ensure that the act of speaking, which is a physical deed, has the very best possibility because your instrument is functioning as it should. And that, I hope, answers that first question. Don't worry, there won't be any more songs.
No, Darren, that was great, actually. You're a pretty nifty guitar player, I have to say. I enjoyed that little riff. It was nice.
Ed Sheeran.
Oh, right. Okay. I actually do have a question following on from your explanation. Who would you say are excellent speakers? Who do you look at and think that person's really bloody good? Because then it might encourage others on this call to go check them out.
Well, here's the thing. It's kind of subjective. Who I think is good and who you think are good might be for different reasons. Because some people consider someone good because of the knowledge that they're sharing. But as an actual physical speaker, as a person who can articulate their ideas clearly into the world, oh my goodness, you've just opened up a huge amount, because there are. I mean, I always tend to look at actors because they train to speak. People who've taken voice coaching, like President Obama, he's a very good example of someone who speaks. He's very well paced. He's very articulate, but he's not overly articulate that he sounds false, which is, I think, one of the reasons why he maybe garnered so much trust, you know, when he was president, and which led him to becoming that place. But also, I think that he was so relaxed and comfortable in his own skin that his body resonated his ideas without getting in his way. There was no conflict. And so President Obama's a good example. I say president, he's not president anymore. So Barack Obama.
Yeah, I was going to say that. Wishful thinking, I wish he was, but that's for another discussion.
Yeah, okay. But when we think of Reagan, we think of the President Reagan, not the actor, don't we? So
yeah, true.
Yeah, I mean, there's many good speakers. Let's have a look. Oh, you got me on the fly here. Again, for different reasons. I love Morgan Freeman's voice. He's very rich, warm, again, relaxed, and he creates space in his instrument for sound to flow naturally. So then when he speaks, it just sounds really creamy and lush because he's not restricting himself. And often tension is what causes that. And actually, in a way, this brings us on to the second point. We can come back to good speakers maybe at the end, but it's really good if you define what it is for you. So like, if I gave you some homework right now for the when this is finished, to go and find five speakers and write down their names and then look at some speeches they've done and try and see if there's any connections in what it is that you like about them, what it is that they're actually physically doing with their voice, and see if you can find any connections, because that way you'll discover this for yourself. I mean, I can tell you good speakers, but then you're just going to see the good in what I've told you. It's subjective, and you might find there's different reasons for you. So it's best that you look at it in a sense to get that knowledge. Do you see what I mean?
Yeah, that completely makes sense. It's subjective. People like different elements of speaking. But you've mentioned Barack Obama, Morgan Freeman, the two people that you like, and then just generally looking at actors because they're trained, it's their profession, it's their craft.
Yeah, especially stage actors.
Stage actors.
Because they've had to learn to articulate themselves, whereas screen actors don't necessarily have to. Marlon Brando is a famous mumbler. You can go through half of his films and not understand a word he says, yet still understand the message.
Yes, very true.
Because the story is told in different ways with film.
Yeah.
And I guess people here are more interested in pitching, presenting, and, you know, job interviews and social networking. I'm assuming it, because it's the shortcut.
Yes, that's correct. Yeah.
And so it's a slightly different thing, and it is physical, but it's really important to remember that speaking is a physical deed. It's not analytical. So you need to get out of your heads and into your body. And in order to improve your speaking ability, you need to work your body in a way that functions for it to speak better. So which kind of brings us on to the second point, which was the question that was thrown up, which is how to express thoughts in an effective way. And I guess, you know, your self-expression is only as effective as the medium and style and audience that you have. So again, it's subjective. Are you using a microphone, or do you have a room full of people and you have to use your voice in such a way that it's clear without the use of technology? Or are you here, for example, on a computer screen doing a webinar? Or are you on a grand stage with a handheld mic, or is it a mic that's coming here? And what's the size of your audience? What's the size of the room? There's so many variables that can affect how you express yourself. And of course, accent. If, for example, you are a Californian Valley girl and you're giving a presentation and you don't use uptalk or don't speak the same way as the other Valley girls, they might lose trust in you because they don't think you're one of them. Do you know what I mean? They might think you're talking to them like you're a parent and therefore not trust you and not listen to your message. So your expression, it's good to find who you are and know what you're talking about. So then you can meet the needs or you can express yourself to different categories of people. And it's really simple. Like, I come across this later on, but it's expressing yourself. Again, it's subjective. It's what you're trying to express. But when your instrument is prepared, there's no conflict between your thoughts and your physical action. You see, so if there's harmony between how you feel physically and how you are emotionally, words will flow through your imagination, and there'll be no second guessing yourself. So vitality plays a huge role in how we outwardly express ourselves to the world. If you have any conflicts such as emotional, mental, physical trauma, or things, negative self-talk, this is in direct conflict with the act of speaking, because everything you say is a direct expression of your vitality. So if you physically, mentally, and emotionally look after yourself, you won't have to worry about how you're expressing yourself, because you'll have the instrument and the will, which are harmonious, to be able to express with. And then the concern with expression no longer becomes a concern. It's just fluid. It will flow. And you'll be able to share yourself with the world much more authentically and easily. Does that make sense to you all?
Yes, these webinars, it's hard to gauge how the audience is doing. Because yeah, it's really, so you're doing very well. It's like a black box.
It is.
But yeah, that does make sense. Actually, one of the audience members, Katya, she's jumped in with a question.
Great.
If we can keep this like a kind of like a conversation, it's nice. So she said that she read Michelle Obama's book, and she wrote about learning to speak. And more complicated than that, to coordinate the voice and face in order to look nice. Mm-hmm. Is there any way to fix it instead of staring yourself in the mirror and creating a perfect face? So I think the question is, like, your face has to match what you're saying. And rather than just staring in the mirror and trying to have a perfect face while you talk.
Again, it's subjective. That was a presidential campaign. That was a very... there was a lot of judgment, a lot of faces on them, and a lot of people are looking for reasons to dismiss their ideas. You see what I mean? So they had to be kind of perfect in that respect. But go ask the last question again, because...
So she was wondering, are there any tips in how you can align your facial expression with your voice?
Okay. So it's less about aligning your face, I believe, and more about aligning your beliefs with the audience. Okay, as an actor, I've been through the casting process. Okay, now, at drama school, I played Hamlet, and I played Richard III, and I played all these wonderful Shakespearean characters that in real life I will never ever play. And the reason for that is because society deems someone who looks like me not to be a young prince. That, you know, the way that archetypes have developed and influenced stereotypes from around the world, and the way people look has had a strong impact on what, if you're wise, you'll know that. But going through the casting process, can anyone guess what type of acting roles I always get?
That's a good question. Villain.
Katrina, yep, absolutely right. Villain, every time. If it's not a villain, it's someone who's dominating, like a police officer or military man, or, you know, someone with fighting skills. They always pick me. Because I'm 6 foot tall, I've got no hair and tattoos. And so the world, thanks to, you know, media and films promoting this idea, believe that someone who looks and talks and acts like me is a bad guy. And it's not by chance that if I go on a train or a bus, I'm the last person that people want to sit next to. It's because there's a stereotype, and people can't help this judgment because they've learned it and they've been so used to it through the way the world already sees things and the way we've been pinpointed and pigeonholed. Now, it's good for me to know that, because as an actor, that gets me more work. However, it's also unfortunate that if I was to work for a startup that was selling baby products, I wouldn't be a good face for the product. I'm the wrong person to stand in front of saying, "You want some nappies? These are the ones for your babies." It just, like, I'm the wrong person for that job. It need to be someone who had a much more natural ease and softness about them. And that just unfortunately, that, you know, isn't me, because when I'm harmonious with myself, I'm a little bit, you know, harder edged. And I even look that way, which kind of, and my accent dictates some of that too. Even though I can change and I can adopt different traits, there's something that the world pigeonholes me under. So knowing that, I can neutralize it. And this is the key here. So rather than trying to change your face, because all that's going to do is add tension, and actually it's going to cause conflict because it's not you, the best thing you can do is to find your neutral. So if anything, to put yourself in a position where you can be more attractive in more areas and to appeal to more people, is to find a posture that's aligned. It's to find relaxation in your shoulders, in your belly, to make sure that your breathing system is effective and flowing properly. And then when you can relax into your skin, you will not only feel better, you will appear more confident, more secure, and more appealing to a larger audience. And one of the reasons I know this is because, you know the actor Keira Knightley? Well, I remember at drama school, one girl who was a little bit envious of her, you know, position. She'd been in, you know, Pirates of the Caribbean. And this girl didn't think that Keira was a very good actor. And she said to our voice coach, why is she getting all the roles? She's not that pretty. She's not that good an actor. And he put it quite simply that the reason she gets those roles is because she doesn't judge herself and she's comfortable in her own skin. So there's a lot to be said about finding physical relaxation in your body. Things like Qigong, Pilates, yoga, these all promote healthy breathing techniques and healthy alignment and ways that you can physically feel comfortable in your own skin. And once you've done that physiologically, your psychology changes to realign with it. And therefore you feel so much more confident and you exude that and you get a feedback loop from the rest of the world who say, yeah, they're okay. A wise director once told me, Darren, if your bum is tight on stage, then your audience's bum is tight in the seats. And this is so true, because tension looks horrible. Inner conflict creates tension and stress, and that looks horrible, makes us feel uncomfortable as an audience. So rather than looking at your face, consider your whole entire instrument as something that you can improve to better your effectiveness as a speaker. And that's not just articulation, that's also resonance, projection, relaxation. But it all comes from relaxation and posture. It's like, it's the foundation. It's the one thing that if you can crack that, you don't have to worry. You've got it. You really are there. Seriously, it's amazing how well that will serve you. Just one more point on that. Because just, I want to make that point, you know, prominent and stick with you. When was the last time that you went to a party or a networking event and met someone for the first time who was uncomfortable and tense and kind of maybe even they might have seemed aggressive? When was the last time you met someone like that, came away and said, oh, they were so lovely to be around. Oh, I really like this guy because they were really uncomfortable. They were really tense. You will never hear that expression said. No one will ever look at tension and see it as healthy or attractive. Relaxation is key, people. It really is. And Ekaterina, I think hopefully that answers your question, that if you're thinking about your face, you're consciously focusing on something which is taking away from you being you. And actually finding your way of being neutral is so much more effective. It really will serve you.
Thank you, Darren. Yeah, I quite like that, that the key is finding relaxation in yourself and the rest will follow.
Mm.
That's really nice. She wanted to clarify a little bit and say, like, when she's asked a particular question, say, like, in a face-to-face interview, she'll start thinking deeply and concentrating, and that sort of contorts her face. Yes.
But so be it. Do you know what? You're a human. And if you, but the thing is, that's fine. If you judge yourself on that, then there's the problem, because then you're creating the conflict. And you see what I mean? You have to be comfortable with thinking. And it's like, it's one balances the other. If you don't give a shit about these people, you'll be fine, because you'll be so confident and in that you know what you're talking about. And here's something, because I guess if you're on stage with and an investor asks you a question about numbers, and you have to go, all right. Yeah, I can see what you mean. It might be a bit off-putting. So in order to counterbalance that, know what the fuck you're talking about. Have the answer already. You know, if you're presenting something or pitching something, you should be the expert. You know, and if you have to think because you want to give the right answer, then think. And if you feel that someone's judging you for that, fuck them. Sorry to swear, but it's true. Fuck them. It's none of their business. None of your concern. You give them the answer and you've done your job. You have to bring energy. You have to know what the fuck you're talking about. And you have to not be, and you have to say it clearly enough for people to understand. And then your job is done. There's nothing more you can do outside of that. Think if you need to think. It's human, and human is enough.
I love that, Dan. That was great. Thank you. I completely agree. We're humans after all, and it's good to recognize that. I had another question from Jose, but I might ask that a little bit later, because I think it could be added to the end of the current question list that you have.
It's funny how a lot of these questions kind of do interweave into each other. Body language was an interesting one, but again, I think I've just gone through that. Body language is a direct representation of how you feel about yourself. You know, a lot of people are too concerned with the analytical. Should I raise my hand? Should I walk at this point? It's much better to see someone walking because their instinct tells them to, than it is to see someone holding themselves still. And you can see their instinct wanting to move, but they don't let themselves. That shows tension, and that's uncomfortable to watch. And there's so many rules which kind of cause blocks in speakers. Like Toastmasters, I've made two videos on Toastmasters, one being what's great about them, but the other one being what's not so great about them. And what I find that's not so great is this introduction to so many rules and conscious decisions, because speaking isn't, it's only the words we learn when we're learning them that are conscious. Everything else should be automated. We should know what we're talking about so well that we don't have to consider, am I putting my hand in here? And if you haven't rehearsed it well enough, or if you don't know well enough of what you're talking about, then maybe you need to practice more. You know, that's quite a simple, practice makes perfect, right? Not that we have to be perfect, but there was actually, the next question was on improvisation skills. And someone would like to learn how to improve their improvisation. And the unspoken truth about improvisation is that it takes a hell of a lot of practice to be able to improvise. If I go back to the idea of a guitar, and if I was a jazz guitarist, for example, they do a lot of improvisation, don't they? But they have to learn jazz and all the different forms and all the different chords and all the different scales in order to be able to improvise. So if you have the thought that improvising means you don't have to know anything, turn up and just speak, well, that's bullshit, right? Because you need to know what you're talking about before you can improvise with it. And so again, I'd say that if improvisation skills will be much easier to adopt and use if you A, know what you're talking about, and B, practice talking about it. Because the more you say something, even if it's on the same subject, I'm improvising right now. You know, I'm looking at the questions and I'm going, well, you know, I know what that's about, and I think I know how to connect that to the next thing. And so it really is just that. I mean, I've spent so many times making videos for YouTube and my online courses that I've, you know, I've developed a way of articulating what I, my opinions, if you like, and my, what I've learnt fairly naturally, I think, and fairly fluidly. And so that's what it is. Whatever your area to speak about is, especially if it's yourself, you should know. And then just, yeah, and then you don't judge yourself and have your free, ready, open, relaxed instrument, and words will just come. Words will happen.
Thanks, Darren. That's really nice. I like the analogy with the jazz guitar, because I'm a guitarist as well, so it really resonated with me. And you're 100% right about jazz. The word improvisation sort of suggests that you make it up on the spot. But the reality is you need to know those scales so, so well for it to sound good and be good. And you're right, in that sense, it's not improvisation at all. It's really thorough preparation.
Yeah.
I think that applies to the job context as well. Prepare for your interviews and you won't need to really improvise. It'll be natural. So, yeah, I like that.
Well, I recently, a couple of weeks ago, did the Simon Sinek Golden Circle exercise where I found my why. And it's interesting because like a week and a half later after finding my why, I realized that I knew it all along. I just hadn't focused my attention on it in such a way. And it's been very eye-opening for me. In one respect, I was like, yes, I'm doing the right thing. But in another respect, I thought, I didn't really have the complete direction before. I knew kind of where I wanted to go, but there was no almost like a definite destination. So that was very helpful with that. And I think with, you know, improving improvisation skills, it's kind of like that. You need to know where the roads are. You need the map in order to get there. You can take any way, route you want. You can go across, you know, fields if you want to go there, but it's handy to know what you're getting at the end of it or where you're going. And if you have form to get you there, if you have roads, or if you have a car, if you have a bicycle and a way to get there, then improvisation becomes much easier. And again, it's just down to practice, about being ready. It's like comedy, you know, those Have I Got News For You comedy improvisation stuff. I was in one of those once, and they're really rehearsed. Even the answers are rehearsed, and it's not all improvised. Like they practice improvising, and they practice around the theme, and only occasionally do they actually make those questions real. You know, they catch people out, like guests, for example. But the other people know what they're saying. They know what the answers are already. That's how it's so entertaining, because they know what they're going to do, which is cheeky.
Yeah, that's very true. and just to add, for anyone on this call that wants to practice any kind of like interview technique or any presentation, then contact me and I'll be happy to help you and sit through it and give you some feedback as well. Lovely. Shall we move on to the next question?
Certainly. Well, the next one, you know, I'm going to give you a three-step pointer on this, and we've already gone through it. But if everyone's got a pen and paper right now, and maybe or a phone or something, or even just listening, which is probably even better, then this is how to engage your audience, which was another response to the initial question. So when you're all ready, I'm going to guess you're ready now. Right. How to engage the audience. One, don't be boring. I.e., it specifically bring energy, bring yourself. Two, know what the fuck you're talking about. And three, say it clearly. Boom. There you go. That's it. That's how you engage your audience. Don't be boring. Know what the fuck you're talking about and say it clearly.
Darren, that's great. I'm writing this down really quickly. Bear with me.
You need to write it down. I was joking about that. Surely you can remember those.
I'm writing it down.
Everyone's, come on, I know that. It's pretty simple, though. People overcomplicate things. Oh, yeah, maybe I'll take a course on how to engage the audience, and they'll tell me some rhetorical device I can use in order to make people laugh and like me. You know, it's not about you. It's about the audience. If you've got information that you're trying to share with people, You need to bring energy. You can't expect people to give you the energy to speak. That is it's unfortunate and unfair, and no one's going to want to do that. That's why you lose your audience, because you don't give them anything. And in presenting as is pitching is you giving something to people. And if I was going to give you a gift, say it's Christmas time and I've got a present for you right here, and I just go, there you go, there's your gift. How are you going to feel about receiving that gift if I just throw it at you or toss it on the floor? It's not very nice presentation, is it? If it's not wrapped up, it's in a box, I give you in a old Tesco's Aleppo bag, and I just throw it on the floor. I've not presented this gift to you. But if I wrap it in nice paper and put a bow on top and I say, hey, I got you a gift, and you're excited and you're giving it, you're presenting it in an enthusiastic manner, before you've opened the present, you already love it. Oh, wow, thank you so much. Because I've given it value. And I'm giving you energy by giving it to you. And that's how you got to see your speaking. And that is basically not being boring. By giving energy, being energized. Don't expect anyone to give it to you. They will if you give it to them. But if you go into a situation where you have to speak and under-articulate and just stand there, and if I was to give this presentation right now and didn't put any energy into it, I think after a while you might get bored and just think, why are you watching this guy tell us about presentation and speaking? Do you know what I mean? You see the difference? If I don't give you anything, you don't get anything, and you won't listen to the message because there's no energy driving it. And again, that comes from having a body that's resonant and ready and relaxed and able to let our ideas flow. So don't be boring, bring energy. So 2, know what the fuck you're talking about. I shouldn't have to explain that one. If you're talking about yourself and pitching yourself, you should know. If you're talking about your product or your idea, you should know. If you're talking about something you really have no idea about, why the fuck are you talking about it? That might be where improvisation comes in as an exercise, but in real life, what are we speaking for? Is to share something with people. And say it clearly. Be articulate enough that it's understood. Maybe you've noticed or not, but I have a tendency to speak very fast. And I'm quite comfortable speaking very fast and articulating myself. But it is that, everyone has something that they could always work on and grow with. And I guess this is the first time I've done this kind of, what are we calling this, a webinar? I've done one in this context with, usually it's one-on-one with clients, but, and so I can't really see everyone's faces and it's a bit weird. So I'm just speaking to my computer. And so for me, it's a little bit strange. Luckily, I can see, is it Ekaterina, I think, there? And yourself, Stefan. Thank you for showing your faces. It makes me feel great. It means it's like you're giving me energy back and, it's reciprocal. But yeah, saying things clearly, which could mean pacing yourself, slowing down, breathing, and taking that time to think. Don't worry about that. Take the time. It's your right. And making sure, depending on the size of the room, that you articulate the end of words and sentences. And that's just technical. That's the only technical thing I'd say, is say it clearly. Because then you don't alienate anyone.
I'm really conscious of speaking too fast now. And I definitely mumble a lot, and I've definitely been accused of being boring, even in some of these sessions from some of my colleagues. So I really like that. I really like the idea of bringing energy, and I would say that now that things are moving more online, you actually have to bring more energy online than you do in person. Because what do you think?
Well, maybe. I don't know if you have to bring more. Actually, sometimes I think because it's a camera and a microphone, if you go over the top, it might sound a bit unbelievable, as it does on a camera. Mm. When people over articulate on a camera, it sounds false. But if they articulate in a room, it has an actual purpose because there's reverberation from the sides of the walls. And the bigger the room, the bigger space you need to articulate so the words are clear, because it takes longer for the sound to finish. Mm. Once you've made it here, you're getting the words straight away. So I don't really have to over articulate.
Okay. Well, that's good then. That's handy.
I can still give energy, and it's usually to do with how I'm affecting you. And actually I can go through an idea on how you can do that.
Yeah.
Because often people are very conscious of themselves and what they're doing wrong, or how should I be saying this? Or, you know, everyone's stuck in this negative self-talk, and it's easy to do. We all do it. I still do it from time to time. And so a way that an actual tool that you can use to overcome that would be to, before you speak, consider, what is it you're trying to do to your audience? And, you know, if you've got a dictionary, if you've heard of a dictionary, it's quite a popular thing from the good old days before Google came along. You could actually look up a word which was called a verb. And so a transitive verb is something that's moving. And it's like something that you do. So an action. So even though you might have to, I don't know, say something about yourself or something about your business, you don't just have to infuse what you're saying with the knowledge itself. You can pick an action. For example, Stefan, if I were to say to you, thank you for having me here today, that's just me saying thank you for having me here today. But I could say it differently, couldn't I? I could say, Stefan, thank you for having me here today. Or I could say, Stefan, yeah, thanks for having me here today. I could make it mean something else. I don't have to say the word the way the word is written. So in this respect, if you're giving a presentation, you can literally pick pieces of text or parts of your speech and say, right, well, in this part of the speech, I want people to feel mystified. So you can use the action to mystify, and then everything you say could be mystical and magical. And just the idea of mystifying people changed my physicality. It changed the way I said something without me being conscious of myself, because my aim was towards you and not myself. And you can't aim an attitude or an idea towards someone and think about yourself at the same time. This is also a great way to learn your text, which was another question from later on, how to memorize longer text. Because if you're trying to do it consciously and trying to remember words, then it's just going to A, sound like a robot, and you're just going to be thinking this word consciously, and you're going to lose your connection with your audience. So the best way to do that is to find an emotional connection within the story for yourself. And one way of doing that is by using actions or verbs as you learn the text. This way, you will create a story behind it. So this part of my speech is going to flirt with my audience. This part of my speech is going to attack my audience. This part of my speech is going to mesmerize my audience. And you will find that you will learn the text so much easier. And then when you're on stage, you don't have to think about the text because it's in your body. Your unconscious mind will learn it. And I got this from hypnotherapy and from acting. You will learn it. And it's stored there somewhere. So as long as you play with that verb and that action in your delivery, the words will come. And it's quite scary to do at first. But if you practice doing that and you master that, this is one of the good things about acting, is that you can learn, I mean, endless amounts of text and not have to think about it once.
That's really cool. I liked the example of saying thank you to me. That was brilliant. Especially the second one, I thought I was going to blush. But it's amazing that it was the same words, but just the way that you articulated them was different, and it gave me a completely different feeling. So following on from that, for a lot of people here, they want their audience to feel convinced that they know what they're talking about, because they're applying for jobs and they want to come across as knowledgeable and confident. So how do you make your audience feel convinced? Are there any specific things you need to take into account there?
I mean, this is going to sound really silly, right? But be convincing. But here's the thing, right? Because do you want? I think the question came from how to show confidence, right? Did this come out of that question, or?
Yeah, to a certain extent, yeah.
Because here's the thing, and like, or how to show, how to be convincing. Well, again, being is just you in your state right here. Being, I'm being convincing, doesn't do anything for who you're speaking to. Instead, you should be thinking, how do I convince them? So you want to change your focus on how I can be something to how I can give them something. And it's just about how you're considering the situation. You're not going to a job interview to get a job. You're going to a job interview to give the solution to the job seeker. You're going to answer their prayers. You're there to resolve their problem, their issue. They have a vacancy because they have a need. You're there to fulfill their need. You're not there because you need to pay your rent. They don't give a shit about you. They don't give a shit about the rent. They give a shit about their business and what you're bringing to the table. So when you think about it from their perspective, you don't have to think about how to convince them. You just have to give them the solutions that they're looking for. If you're in the room, if you get into the interview, they already know that you can do the job. Otherwise, you wouldn't be there. So when you're in that room, it's just your, well, here's the thing. If they have three people and they know they can all do the job, they're not looking for the person who can do the job. They're looking to whittle out the ones who can't, you know, they're trying to find, they're looking for reasons to not hire you because they've got three people who can. Right. So it's no longer about your ability. It's now about, you know, am I being myself? If they can see people who are offering jobs can see through falseness. And again, and I hate to bring this up, but if you bring a positive energy into the room, you've got much more, you know, opportunity than two people who don't. And if you know what the fuck you're talking about, you know, if you like learn a bit about the company, learn a bit about the job you're going in for, then again, you've just done better than the two people who haven't. And if you can present yourself, take stock, breathe, take your time to articulate yourself clearly, then again, you're someone that's able to communicate your ideas. And that is someone who's very employable. So the same three key rules apply as how to engage your audience. One, bring energy. Two, know what the fuck you're talking about. And three, say it clearly. So physically relax your body before you go in. Physically relax your body. Breathe out. And don't breathe in until your body tells you to. This is the second before you walk into the room. And what this is going to do, it's going to get rid of all your anxiety. Because adrenaline kind of feeds our anxiety and makes us kind of, it stops us, it blocks us from being able to be free with, you know, especially in these environments where we you know, we need a job, you know, and if we go in there needy, it's very unattractive because it's just like self, me, I'm here for my money. But you want to go in there giving. And so breathe out all your oxygen. So then when you walk in, you have to breathe in as you walk in. And what happens is, as you fill your body up with nutrients, you're no longer anxious because you haven't taken too much oxygen in before you entered the room. And as you breathe in, you're going to appear to the other humans in the room as someone who's vitalized and growing. And it's just a trick. It's just a trick. And then just give them energy. Just focus on them. Speak to them. Tell them who you are, but it's for them. You're presenting yourself. And I swear, if you can get, you know, give rather than like try to take in a job interview. You're going to be better than everyone else.
Nice. Thank you, Darren. Kenya was just quickly asking whether there was a name for the technique where you break down some long prose and create a story for each of the sections. Does that have a specific name? I think she's trying to find a book about it.
There's a book called Actions, written by a woman called Marina Calderoni. And it's a book. It was designed for this exact purpose, for speakers and actors. And it's just got a list of verbs that you can use to infuse your text in order to give it life. And a lot of voiceover artists use it because quite often they don't learn the text, they have it on the page. And so to help bring it to life quickly, they just give things actions and they put verbs by them. But when you adopt this to the speaking environment too, it can be very powerful and help you to learn text also, because it drops in emotionally and it's not in your head. But it comes from Stanislavski, the idea behind this. So there was a Russian theatre practitioner called Konstantin Stanislavski, and he developed certain methods of acting, working with, he worked with Chekhov, for Christ's sakes. He was a very insightful human being. And some of these methods come from some of his earlier work. Later on, he changed it up a bit, but it kind of got molded into actions over the years by different people. And so it's just an easy way. It's a quick way for people who aren't actors to understand it.
Yeah. Thanks, Darren. Putting verbs on, doing verbs and actions on the top of certain sentences, that's a good bit of advice, actually.
Yeah, I mean, it's almost like, what am I trying to do here?
Yeah.
But you can't necessarily know how the audience will take it, but you can do your best to provide it.
Yes. Thank you very much. I might go back to Jose's question now, if that's okay. Because I feel like I've neglected him. Sorry, Jose, but we're here.
Hey, Jose, where are you? Can't
see you. The J, the nice little sort of teal. Is that teal, that colour?
Turquoise.
Yeah, turquoise. Turquoise, yeah, that's right.
Turn your cameras on, people.
He said, what is the smallest change you can do to make the biggest difference in the way you communicate? So I think that's essentially asking, what's your top tip for improving your communication skills?
I think it's the first things that I went through, actually. It's to improve your instrument. It's to make your body in alignment. Work on your posture, your relaxation. And then you have the instrument that will work for you, and you will feel psychologically better as well. And your body will be able to relax more. You will feel more confident physically and therefore psychologically also. That is my top tip. It's like, work on your body, because speaking is a physical deed.
Thank you very much.
I stand by that wholeheartedly.
Lovely. Do you have more questions on your end?
Yeah, there's still a couple on here. How to relax before speaking. I think I covered that. Do a physical warm-up, actually stretch. People forget that, these ribs that we have, they have muscles inside them. And if these muscles can't open, then our diaphragm can't move down. Therefore, we can't draw in air and we keep it high in the chest, therefore creating more oxygen, more anxiety. So if we can stretch our ribs before we go in to do any speaking, and maybe relax these areas around our back and lumbar spine, that's actually like a very quick way to make us feel more physically able to speak. And you'll be surprised, because you'll develop space. Yawning is another good one, because yawning helps create space in the soft palate, in the back of the throat, down the larynx. And when we yawn as an exercise, it just kind of starts warming things up. And if we're about to speak, warming the instrument up is a good idea. See, Ekaterina's going like this now. There was the question how to show confidence. I'd say, why show it? Isn't it better to be it? You know, wouldn't you rather be confident than show it? However, if you have to show it, then try and find relaxation in stillness. You look at the most confident animals on the planet, or the biggest killers. They're still. They don't move until they need to. And it's the same with people who hold attention. I think the best gig I ever saw was Björk. And she was playing a festival in 1995, I think, or 94, 95, in the UK. And I saw her, and she walked on stage at the beginning of the set in a little white dress, stood there, no band. There was backing track playing. She stood there for an hour and sang, and then walked off. And to this day, she was the most mesmerizing person that I've ever seen live. And she didn't do anything. She didn't dance. She didn't move. She was so secure in herself. She was so confident with her ability and like in her own skin that she exuded, confidence because she didn't have to do anything. And so, the idea of less is more. If you want to show confidence, find comfort in just being present. And again, the way to do that is to find better posture and more relaxation in your body.
Thanks, Dan. That's a good point. I think we can often be tempted to convey confidence by moving, and actually it can be quite unsettling. I'm constantly moving. I'm just thinking of some of the speakers that I've seen in the past give presentations and talks, and actually after a while, when they're moving so much, I feel a little bit seasick. I'm like, goodness me, like,
well, some people use it to steady themselves. Some people need to. Some people,
okay.
But here's the thing: they're trying to stand on the spot. They don't realize they're doing it, and that's the problem. It's the conflict that we're seeing. So there's nothing wrong with moving. You can move. If you want to move, move, do it. It's better that you move than stand still and be tense and hold yourself there. Don't push yourself into standing still. But if you can find comfort in that, that's the strong point. But if you feel like you have to move, then move, because it's much better to see you move than hold yourself still. And the difference between what you said there is people are swaying. It's a comfort mechanism. They're rocking and they're unsure because they don't know what the fuck they talk about, because they haven't brought any energy, and because they have got tension in their body, and they're just showing it. They're showing us their inner conflict and that the fact that they're not vitalized. And so we're seeing people's awkwardness, and that's it's not nice, is it?
No.
Yeah.
Brilliant.
What else have we got? How to introduce myself without sounding like I am reading a script. I think we went kind of through that sort of with actions. But it's a good point. How to introduce myself, again, if you're going for work environments or without sounding like I'm reading a script. Well, I guess I would have to start with know what the fuck you're talking about. But if you haven't considered how to present yourself, then now is the time to do that. Maybe there's only Stefan and Ekaterina that I can see, so I don't know where you guys might be on a roller coaster ride for all I know. If you've got a pen and paper, maybe we can do a little exercise together now. And I'd like maybe take a couple of minutes to write down on this paper all the things that you love, that inspire you, that you stand for, that you believe. Everything. Just don't think about it. Just splurge. Write everything down. Brainstorm. Just throw it onto the paper. Anything that's good. I like cats. I like going to the movies. Whatever it is, just put them all down. Good things.
Tottenham Hotspur.
Oh dear. I'm not really a football fan, but I'm from a West Ham area.
Yes.
Yeah. So I'll give you another couple of minutes for that, but if you get to the end already, then also maybe write down things that you despise, that you don't like, that you hate about anything. I don't believe in this. I don't think that's right. I don't like cats. I don't believe in God. Whatever it is, you know, just put those down too. So just take another minute. You don't have to think too deeply. Just once you've splurged, maybe it will give us a thumbs up when you're done, or a little message. You can always come back to this later as well if you want to go into it in more depth. It's best if I just give you the examples now so you can take them away and spend more time on it yourself later. So we can maybe draw to a close on that now. So the next point I'd say, okay, you got two sheets of paper. That's good. The next point I'd say would be to try and notice if you had to put these items into themes or groups of similar kind of things, then I'd say circle or put a number by, for example, say you had, I like going to the forest. I don't like staying indoors. I like going to swimming. I don't like going to football. You know, so there might be a theme of outdoors, you know, the great outdoors. I like being outside, not inside. And so those things would go together. So you can group these together, the good and the bad, into themes which are similar. Maybe spend a minute or two seeing if you can do that now. Or groups, you could put a number by each one or whatever. How are we doing? Okay. So again, you can spend more time in this in your own time. We're just going to go through it briefly. So the next step in this would be to then try and name the most important part of each group. What would you call each group on its own? If all the overarching themes in this one were represented by one of the words in it, great. Fine, that will be your main word. But maybe these all combine to make something greater. So you need to figure that out for yourself. Or even if it's just a nickname that you're giving them. But try and find what's the overall idea surrounding those, each theme or group. Okay, so I don't know how many groups you've got. How many you've got, Stefan? How many, Ekaterina?
So I actually ended up having two groups.
Okay.
Because I realized that everything that I said fitted really nicely into the theme.
Right.
They were all human characteristics, which was interesting.
Would you share what they are?
Yeah, so I wrote things that I like were equality, fairness, kindness, empathy, warmth, and company. And I categorize that as being a human, being a good human. And then the words I used was then selflessness. And then I had like all the bad characteristics. I said like ego, inequality, obscene wealth, selfishness, mistreatment of others. And I called that not being a good human and selfishness.
Okay, so that's quite clear. Okay, so if you now have two things that you can definitely say you stand for, you can say, I'm a human-centric person who doesn't believe in selfishness. And you can say that wholeheartedly from the bottom of your heart, knowing that you mean it. So if you go into any situation and you have to introduce yourself, you now have this as your little 2 second pitch. That's how you introduce yourself. You say, "Hi, my name's Stefan," and they're like, "Oh, what are you into, Stefan?" "Well, I believe I'm a human centric. I believe that everything I do is towards the betterment of human beings, and I really despise selfishness." You can say that and actually believe it and know it because this is a value. This is your values. These are values. Hey, Katrina, would you want to share yours?
Yeah, sure. Actually, it's quite entertaining. The first list is what I like: books, coffee, museums, learning and seeing something new, pink color, series with a good murder, chocolate, sun, cozy clothes, slow living.
Okay. Was there what did you theme those as together?
Well, actually, I theme them like impressions, learning, and something like that I see, so something connected with eyes. And all these things bring me joy. So these are like sources of something. The one word is source.
I mean, in a way, we're kind of looking at the themes themselves. So, I mean, everything ultimately always comes down to happiness, right? Because no one wants to be miserable. But these are like the next step up from that. So, I mean, you could say that if someone was to ask you, like, "So, what do you believe in? What do you do?" "Well, I'm very much a proponent for education and learning. I also really respect and honor the arts." There you've got it. You've got two things that you can actually share. And then now you've done this and actually sat down and thought about it and put it into exact words, you have it. And so that you've actually got something for your toolkit, everyone now, hopefully, that whatever situation you're in, you could always use these. You can always go back to them. And if you, once you've said it, you can always elaborate on it because these are things that you believe in and that you actually like. Because if I, Katrina, if I was to ask you a question about art, I'd say, okay, what kind of specific medium are you into most?
Speaking about art, there is no specifically any type of art I like the most, but I just like the concept that art sometimes helps you to understand yourself more and what happens around you.
Right, so there you go, you've articulated it. Art is a great way for people to find expression and grow.
Yeah, though actually it looks like I hate people if to look at my second list.
But you don't have to share those, that's the thing. It's just good to know what they are. But the negative ones might influence the positives too, you see. It might be that I don't like people who don't like art. What were the negative ones then? Let's have a listen.
So my negative list is I don't like unprofessional people, I don't like lies, and I don't like unnatural positive mindset. And I don't like insects.
Incense.
Insects.
Insects. We don't like eating them, or we don't like living with them, or.
So I called all this group like things that bring me disappointment.
Yeah, but you need to think of it in a way that is less about you and more about like a topic.
So more is the word behavior, like negative behavior. So if not to talk about insects, because they so if to concentrate on people and all the negative aspects I don't like there. So yes, it's like negative, unhonest behavior.
Dishonesty. That's great, because you can turn that into a positive then, you know. So because no one wants to share negatives, right? So you can just say, I really respect honesty and art and education. And you've got it. You've got three values that you can put in a positive light that you can share with anyone. And then if anyone ever asks you, you've got the answer. And you can think about this in other areas of your life as well. And this is good for values, but I think one of the things about finding my why was it helped me again to reaffirm some of these values as well that I already hold dear. So yeah, it's just a tool, you know, you can use that.
It's a good exercise, Darren. I've sort of found that historically when I've been trying to network or make a good impression or write a cover letter or write a CV, I spend ages thinking, what is my first sentence going to be?
Yeah. With that in a positive light.
Yeah.
Right.
I've never done this kind of exercise, and it becomes really obvious quite quickly. Mm-hmm. And then the bit about conveying it confidently is that they're your beliefs and your values. So you will convey them confidently.
Well, the thing is, if there's three people in a job interview, right? And the first question is, what do you think you're going to bring to the company? Well, they already know you can do the job. So what do you share? You share your values, right? Because then you'll know if you're the right person for the job. You say, well, I believe in art, education, and honesty. That's your opener. And then they'll ask you a question and you can relax into the conversation. You've already, they'll see it as confidence because you know who you are. And that looks great to an employer.
Really true. It's very true. So I'm conscious we have 10 minutes left, and I want to review some of the takeaways that I've written down. But before then, do we have any more questions that we haven't addressed? Speak now or forever hold your peace. No, great. I think it was quite a fluid conversation. And we answered a lot of points, which is great. So I'm going to go over some of the takeaways from today's session, Darren, and you feel free to chip in or add anything that I may have missed that you think is important. One of the first things you said was to do some homework and find five speakers that you like, write down their names and what you like about them. Find your neutral. So
I will chip in already, actually.
Yeah.
The reason for that was so that you can define what makes them great speakers. So finding them is the first step. The second step is evaluating what it is about their speaking that you like. And the third step is taking steps to improve yourself to learn those traits. So then you have all these great things.
That makes more sense. Thank you.
Yeah.
The second thing was to find your neutral. Find relaxation in your shoulders, belly, and your breathing. When you do this, you'll naturally exude confidence. Is that fair?
Yeah, but you could just say maybe look into holistic exercises like Pilates, yoga, Tai Chi, that promote relaxation and posture and breathing exercises. Because I always like the idea that you've got something to do. It's not just an idea still in your head. And there's something you can physically do to take away.
Yes. Great. Try not to introduce so many rules as it creates roadblocks. And you can avoid introducing too many rules by knowing what the fuck you're going to talk about. And also you can do it by practicing. It's really important to practice. You can engage
not in a mirror
in person.
Yeah,
and as I said before, I'm more than happy to practice any kind of mock interview of any of you, so just reach out to me by email. To engage your audience, don't be boring. And the best way to not be boring is to bring energy and bring positive energy. And if you're in a, you know, in a cohort of three people and you bring more energy, you will stand out and you will have an advantage. The second point is know what you're talking about. And the third point is to say it clearly. And if you do those three things, then you will engage your audience. And then before you're going to communicate and speak, think about what you're trying to achieve. What do you want your audience to feel? And then you spoke more about actions and how if you just simply write like an action above a sentence or a particular part of what you're going to present, then you already sort of unconsciously like engage and tell a story.
And then you it's also handy for learning as well. So rather than consciously learning text, you can use these verbs, these actions, as your to actually embody the an emotional connection surrounding the text that you have to use, so that when you use it to share to others, to present to others, you don't have to think about the words. They'll be connected to you already. They'll be more ingrained in your body.
Great. Thank you. Then the single most important piece of advice you gave to Jose was to work on your body being an instrument, understanding that it's you're doing something and you have to fine tune it. Then there were two more things. Before going into a job interview, for example, relax and stretch, particularly around your ribs, your chest, and also yawning, because it helps create space and it warms up your instrument, which is important. And then the last thing I wrote down is to convey confidence, try finding relaxation in stillness. And those were 10 takeaways I had from the session. Is there anything that you would add?
I mean, don't get me talking because I won't stop. I think that's good takeaways. You don't want to have too much in one day because it won't settle. And I'm such a huge proponent of the physical aspect of speaking, and it's so undervalued. Yet it's what the people who are doing it professionally do. You know, it's not an academic achievement. It's a physical deed. If you're a speaker, you're an athlete, in my opinion, and you have to train those muscles, which they are like an athlete, specifically towards what you're doing. So if posture is so important, and it's not just for speaking. It's for your whole body functioning the way it should, because so many of us are sat at desks these days. So many of us are in these sedentary lifestyles, and then we go to the gym and add tension to that. We forget that we need more length at the front and stronger backs in order to hold ourselves up. So our instrument is, you know, fine-tuned, and so it does work for us, because when it does, we no longer have the negative self-talk, because we are just being present with the world. And the feedback loop from others who see that is always positive, because they look and they see confidence, and they already anticipate confidence, and they believe you know what you're going to talk about, because you just are comfortable in your own skin physically. And this will have a feedback to your unconscious mind that you're doing it right and the world loves you and you are fine. And then that will imbibe you with more psychological confidence as well. So it really starts with posture. Yes. When your posture's, you know, there, you can breathe better, you can speak better, and again, the loop continues.
Lovely.
It's so important.
Thanks, Darren. I wanted to end on a question from Katya very early on, which was, who are well-known speakers who are rubbish at speaking? I think that was her question.
Okay, two really famous ones, okay? I'm not going to say rubbish, but there's areas of concern for me. One is Gary Vaynerchuk, Gary V. Now, it's not that his message doesn't get across, because it does. The problem with him is that he falsely creates tension to emphasize ideas. So he's like he's always all up here like this, and he's like, it can never stop, and it's not real, it's not natural. So he's like, I mean, he's fucking bullshit. he's damaging his voice slowly but surely. And so there's no longevity. And I actually made a review video on him doing that from a YouTube channel. And someone commented that, because I said, I think he's probably got a bad back because he's, you know, he's creating this tension and it's changing his body. And they said, it's funny because just today he was saying how he's got a bad back on Twitter. And I was like, well, there you go. It's pretty clear the two are connected. And so because he's physically adding restriction to tell a story, he's damaging himself. And so he's got no longevity with his voice. And so he's doing physical training. I know that he's doing gym work, but he's not doing enough relaxation work. And I think he's such a powerful speaker because of his intention. He brings energy. He knows what he's talking about. He doesn't always say it clearly, but he is quite articulate. And my concern is more for him that he could do probably reach more people if he was more relaxed. Mm. You know, he doesn't need to do this anymore. It's acting, you know. Actors don't learn to tell lies. Actors learn to tell the truth. And that's where that comes in. The second person, and I might get hated for this, is Tony Robbins. And he's had a lot of voice coaching. And I think if he hadn't, then maybe he would have lost his voice years ago. It's unfortunate because he speaks for a long periods at a time, and he does bring so much energy all the time. And he's a big man, but you can hear his voice nowadays as it compared to what it was 10 years ago, and it's broken. It's going. It is losing it because he's not. He spends so much time on helping other people. I think he always spends time on himself, but it's more psychological changes he's making. I think he could do more physical things to better his instrument, to give him, again, and it's down to longevity. I hate hearing people that are damaging their voices. It really disturbs me. And he's, you know, you got clearly got this whole thing going on, where, you know, that whole affected. But I think that's his physiology. I don't think he can really change that. I think it could be damage or trauma or something from his youth that stuck with him, and it's genetic, a lot of that. But still, I don't know, there's a lot of it's not a good voice to try and emulate, because you would hurt yourself by trying to do it, unless you're Tony Robbins. And that's why I don't like his, I love him, but that's why I don't think he's got a great speaking voice, because it might give others the wrong impression about how to use theirs, especially influential entrepreneurs who are trying to look up to speakers and gain from them. I'd say be careful, be very wary of those people that affect their voice, like Gary Vaynerchuk and like Tony Robbins, because it's not healthy. That's my two.
Perfect. So it's 11:30, and we've reached the end, and that was a really good way to finish. That was interesting. So Darren, thank you so much for giving us your time today. There was some really lovely insight and all of that, and there's definitely lots that I've learned as well about how I communicate and how I can improve, mm-hmm. Like engaging my audience, amongst other things. So thank you very much.
Very welcome.
If people want to find out more about you, they can on your website on Vocabilities.
Yeah, I mean, I've got over 200 videos on YouTube. If you just check out Improve Your Voice, Vocabilities, or you can go to vocabilities.com. And yeah, I mean, I've got online courses. I've got an 8-week course, which is all about improving your instrument. So it has breath, posture, relaxation, projection, articulation. It goes through the whole, you know, foundational steps. But I mean, that's if you can't find what you need on YouTube, that's the next step. Yeah.
Thanks, Darren. I'll share all of that information with everyone on the call via email when I send the recording. So
welcome.
Lovely.
Nice to
Thank
see you.
You,
Steph. Nice to see you, Ekaterina. Everyone else, nice to see your picture.
Thank you very much.
All right. Take care.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Bye-bye.
So I hope that was informative for you. I hope there was some questions in there that you may have had yourself that have been able to answer. And I also hope that you got something out of the little exercises that I've set up throughout the video. That was, of course, filmed last week live. There were other people live on that webinar. And I'm thinking of maybe even opening it up to you guys, my subscribers on the audience. And you've made it this far to the end, then you're clearly someone who wants to grow and learn. And I totally respect that. So get in touch with me at darren@vocabilities.com and let me know you're interested. And if you haven't signed up to the newsletter, do that. And then we can arrange a time where, you know, I can get you involved and we could do a live webinar and answer your questions. Okay, so thanks for sticking with me. Thanks for watching the video. I'll sign off now. My name is Darren McStay. This is Improve Your Voice. And until the next time, look after your voice.